This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
6-4000 or email pd@kpft.org to get involved in this important local programming. Deadline for proposals is May 1st. You're listening to KPFT Houston.
Listeners support KPFT in many different ways. Some write checks and others use credit cards, but if you're spinning your wheels looking for a tax deduction, think about donating your working but unwanted car, motorcycle, boat, or a truck to KPFT. You'll qualify for a tax deduction and, at the same time, take care of that unfinished business. To make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 1-877-803-2408. We'll arrange for your vehicle to be picked up and the title transferred. Then we'll send you a receipt for your tax deduction. It's that simple to support the station you've come to rely on for alternative music, news, and public affairs programming. Again, for more information or to make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation hotline at 1-877-803-2408. You're tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. This is Jack Valinsky.
And J.D. Doyle.
And Glenn Holt.
We have a really good show tonight. A bunch of different items going on, especially sort of cultural items. First up, we'll be talking to David Elliott from Washington and the Inside the Beltway and Beyond report. Then we're going to be talking about a play that Joe Watts is doing.
It's called Valhalla, and he's going to tell us all about that, I'm sure.
And then the Assister softball tournament. And then later in the show, we're going to be talking about the House of Hope concert that the Gay Men's Chorus will be presenting on March 13th. So all that's coming up. Today is Lobby Day, so that's why Deborah is not with us this evening, or Jennifer probably also. So, and I'm sure it was a fun day up there in
Austin. They'll tell us about it next week, I'm sure.
Yes, they will. I'm sure they will. Let's see, what else is going on? Of course, did you watch the Oscars?
No.
I know you're not big on those award programs.
Well, I haven't seen any of the movies. Except Dreamgirls. That's the only one I saw. So.
And you liked it, right?
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't think it was wonderful, but I liked it.
The music was pretty good.
Yeah.
And definitely had its gay themes in it. Shortly we'll be talking to David Elliott as he calls in from Washington. It is that time of year where there's a lot of things going on. The weather's getting a little bit better. I helped participate in the Washington Avenue Parade this past weekend. It was their first ever. It was a little bit of fun.
Were you Grand Marshal?
No. I was not Grand Marshal. No, I was...
Got to practice.
Yeah, I was... We'll see about that. I helped put it together. It was their first ever, and it was a lot of fun. As I said, today is Lobby Day in Austin. The Equality Texas and Houston Equal Rights Alliance here in Houston, and the Houston Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Political...
What is Lobby Day?
Well, that's a good question. Since 1989, 2 years after the March on Washington in 87, there used to be a March on Austin, and then the following Monday after that, and it's every 2 years because that's just when the legislature's in session, and the following Monday after that is when people actually went to lobby their particular state rep or their state senator. And, those of us who live in the Montrose and have good representation, we may go to some other place, other...
Educational.
Yes, it's basic and educational. They talk about certain things like adoption and, in Texas, we pretty much just try to keep them from rolling in more barbarian laws, I guess we
or
would
say. Or it could be censorship of school books in the school boards.
Many different things. And they have, from what I understand, they have a very good sort of mini training session. And then you go with like four different people or three other people.
So you're not alone and you're not unprepared.
Right, exactly. That's up in Austin today. What else? I enjoyed your Career Music Heritage last week.
That was kind of different. That was, if you all missed it, it was on Bear Music. You can still hear it on the internet at www.queermusicheritage.com. All of my shows are archived there. For that particular show, I did a six-hour special on the net and, of course, 1 hour for radio. So there's lots of music y'all didn't get a chance to hear on the air, sometimes for FCC reasons.
Yes, which is nice on the internet, although eventually they may put some put some restrictions on that. This Wednesday, being the first Wednesday of the month, is the Houston GLBT Political Caucus monthly meeting. And that monthly meeting, there will be the endorsement for the special election, which is coming up May 15th for city council to replace Shelley's seat. And there's actually been, I think, four different candidates that screened for the caucus. So it ought to be really interesting.
How many people are trying for that seat?
Well, you can still file, so it's not exactly
it's
determined.
Not closed yet.
We think it's about six right now, and the caucus generally tries to contact everybody.
Could be pretty splintered.
Well, and there probably is going to be a runoff.
And the winner gets 4%, you know.
Well, that's it. It's going to be a low turnout. So we expect, and there may very well be a runoff on that. The caucus meeting is this Wednesday at 7 at the Community Center, which is 3400 Montrose. And they're actually trying something a little bit different. At 6:15, they're going to, before the meeting, it's going to be more or less a social gathering, fundraising type thing.
Mix and mingle.
And a number of the candidates should be there, so if you want to talk to them beforehand. We're waiting for David Elliott to call.
We certainly are. You may have to call him and jog his memory. There was a bunch of stuff going on in Washington today.
Well, you know, I was thinking it wasn't a holiday today. You know, there's been so many Monday federal holidays. Well, let's go to This Way Out in News Wrap, and then we'll catch David on the other side.
Okay. Dick Cheney ended up in the hospital today because of a blood clot, so that may be part of
what's got him distracted. Sure.
So.
David's ordering flowers.
Yes, exactly. Okay, here we go.
I'm Charles Hall.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending March 3rd, 2007. What the Canadian Press News Agency called the country's last great battle for same-sex equality ended this week with a partial victory in the Supreme Court for the surviving partners of lesbian and gay couples. The High Court said same-gender partners have been wrongly denied survivor benefits under the Canada Pension Plan, or CPP. The court struck down part of a law passed in 2000 in response to a previous ruling on the issue that granted survivor benefits only to same-gender partners widowed after January 1, 1998, saying it was unconstitutional to bar them from collecting family benefits. This week's judgment makes any same-gender partner widowed after the 1985 enactment of Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms eligible for survivor benefits averaging about $500 a month plus 1 year of back pay. But the judges denied full retroactive payments going back to 1985, demanded by about 1,500 claimants or their estates in a class action lawsuit. The court said that there is not an automatic right to every government benefit that might have been paid out had the court always interpreted the Constitution in accordance with its present-day understanding of it. Surviving partners in Quebec are not affected by this week's ruling because the province runs its own pension plan. The Quebec Court of Appeal ruled in a similar case in 2002, ordering that recognition of same-gender spouses for pension purposes be extended back to 1982, when the charter was first adopted there.
Well-known Canadian queer rights activist George Hislop launched the surviving spouse's class action federal lawsuit soon after he was denied survivor benefits following the 1986 death of his partner of 28 years, Ron Shearer. Shearer had paid into the CPP for decades. Hislop himself didn't live long enough to celebrate this week's high court ruling. He died in October 2005 at the age of 78. LGBT rights lawyer Doug Elliott, who acted for the claimants, said of Hislop, "He'd be thrilled to be here today." Elliott, who's argued almost every major queer rights case before Canada's Supreme Court, told reporters that, "We're just about done, I think."
Apparently not done is Italian Prime Minister Romano Prodi, who has survived to govern another day, but only after sacrificing his campaign promise to legally recognize same-gender couples. Prodi resigned last week when his government lost a major foreign policy vote. But rather than ordering new elections, Italian President Giorgio Napolitano called on Prodi to assemble a new center-left government. Catholic-affiliated centrist elements in Prodi's government supported him on foreign policy issues, but strongly opposed any move to create a form of civil unions for queer couples. Backers of the partnership's proposal said lawmakers could still introduce the legislation at a later date. Passage, however, at least in the near term, remains unlikely.
Australian Prime Minister John Howard seems to be bowing to pressure from more moderate elements of his ruling Liberal Party government, saying this week that he's ready to consider granting lesbi-gay couples the same rights as heterosexual married couples in matters like pensions, taxes, and welfare. Howard's government in 2004 passed a law defining marriage as a union between a man and a woman. Last month, it rejected for the second time an attempt by the Australian Capital Territory to enact civil union legislation, charging that it violated the same-gender marriage ban. Some Australian queer activists are cautiously optimistic that some legal recognition of same-gender couples will be proposed. However, given Howard's track record on queer issues, many remain skeptical.
Meanwhile, Sydney's 29th annual Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade, arguably Australia's biggest party, was held on March 3rd. Openly gay British actor Rupert Everett led a contingent of 120 floats and almost 8,000 participants past an estimated 350,000 cheering spectators on central Sydney's Oxford Street. Along with the usual lampooning of Prime Minister Howard and pop celebrities, a number of parade entries focused on green issues such as global warming. A giant replica of planet Earth, split in two, with one half barren and decaying, and the other bright and colorful to symbolize hope, was one of the centerpieces of the celebration.
On a more somber note, a report issued this week by Eaglehurk, the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, says LGBT people are routinely denied access to effective HIV prevention, counseling, and treatment across the African continent. Called Off the Map, the study is the result of a year-long research project conducted through interviews with leaders of African LGBT organizations, local HIV/AIDS project managers, and healthcare providers. It notes that Africa, a continent with slightly more than 10% of the world's population, is home to 60%, or more than 25 million people, of those living with HIV. But there remains a wall of silence that surrounds AIDS and same-sex practices that may prove to be a significant obstacle to conquering the disease. The report calls for international pressure on national and regional African authorities to improve the access of LGBT people in Africa to HIV prevention and treatment services. Carrie Allen Johnson, Eaglehurk's senior specialist for Africa and the author of the study, said that homophobic stigma, the denial of homosexuality, and legislation that criminalizes same-sex behavior all serve to push the issue of same-sex HIV transmission further underground and drastically limit HIV services.
Meanwhile, 365gay.com reported this week that a man charged with homosexuality in the West African nation of Cameroon has been released thanks to Eaglehurk-affiliated attorneys who discovered that he had been languishing in prison there for 2 years. With other human rights groups, they located an attorney to work on his behalf. The man, in his early 20s and identified only as Alexander D. to protect his identity, had been arrested on charges of homosexuality. The judge, in a habeas corpus hearing finally arranged for him, found that the government had no files on his arrest and no evidence to present, and ordered his immediate release. Eaglehurk's Carrie Allen Johnson told the Queer News website that he could have spent the rest of his life in prison. He was lost in the system. Consensual homosexual acts are a criminal offense punishable by up to 5 years in prison in Cameroon. Officials there have notoriously arrested and detained several gay men for months without any legal proceeding. According to Johnson, Alexander is at least the 17th person in the last year to be released after spending time in jail on charges of homosexuality. He said there could be thousands of gay men just like Alexander in prison throughout Africa. We just don't know, he said.
And there were reports this week that Nigerian lawmakers are continuing to fast-track what would almost certainly be the most anti-queer legislation in the world. The international advocacy group Human Rights Watch issued a call to the country's legislators this week to reject the bill, which would imprison anyone who speaks out on behalf of civil rights for lesbians and gay men, or even associates with them. Critics believe the law is being pushed through prior to April's national elections and is being used by candidates to pander to societal hostility towards gays and lesbians. Consensual same-gender sex is already illegal in Nigeria, punishable by imprisonment in the predominantly Christian South and by death in the Muslim North.
Legislation to repeal the Pentagon's notorious Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy was reintroduced this week in the U.S. Congress, this time with the participation of a possible poster boy for the cause, the first member of the U.S. military to be wounded in Iraq. In March 2003, Marine Staff Sergeant Eric Alva was leading about a dozen Marines in a supply unit in Iraq when he stepped on a landmine, losing his right leg. He spent months in rehabilitation and was visited by President Bush, First Lady Laura Bush, and former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Alva, who also appeared on several national television programs, was awarded a Purple Heart for his service and received a medical discharge. He came out as a gay man this week during a Capitol Hill press conference to reintroduce the Military Readiness Enhancement Act, a bill to repeal the ban on gays and lesbians serving openly in the armed forces. I'm an American who fought for his country and for the protection and rights and freedoms of all American citizens, Alva said. Not just some of them, but all of them. While critics of the policy have pointed to the discharge for homosexuality of hundreds of military personnel serving in critical areas, most notably Arab language specialists, conservatives continue to defend it as necessary for unit cohesion and morale. Despite the new Democratic majority in Congress, supporters admit that repeal remains an uphill battle.
And finally, also coming out this week was Cristian Chavez, a singer for the Mexican pop group RBD. He made the announcement after photographs of him kissing and exchanging rings with another man during a 2005 wedding ceremony in Canada surfaced on the LatinGossip.com website. RBD has been wildly popular across Latin America and among Spanish speakers in the United States. Although I'm scared and filled with uncertainty, I know that I can rely on the support of my fans, Chavez said in a statement in both Spanish and English posted on the group's website. Their love is bigger than all of this. I ask them from the bottom of my heart not to judge me for being honest. He urged others to feel proud of who they are and never make the same mistake I did.
That's News Wrap for the week ending March 3, 2007, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Charles Hall.
Wasted too much time trying to figure it out. Complicated up the truth with doubt. Should have listened to my inner voice. Said I never really had a choice. I heard what they all had to say, but I never felt the same. I couldn't share my point of view in fear of what I'd lose. I questioned and I reasoned why. No place to run, no place to hide. And I traveled down this beaten path, too scared to look, too lost to ask. And I did my best for being just a man. Well, I'm not the first, I won't be the last, to make my way and not turn back. On this journey, only few can understand. Down this long and winding road to who I am. So many years in search of truth. Through the pain, I missed the proof. In hindsight, I can clearly see the way it was supposed to be. Broken hearts and sleepless nights wasn't what I had in mind. But I knew deep down in time all the wrongs would turn out right. And I traveled down this beaten path, too scared to look, too lost to ask. And I did my best for being just a man. On this journey, only few can understand. Down this long and winding road to who I am. Some disguised as friends, but really demons. This too shall pass. And I traveled down this beaten path, too scared to look, too lost to ask. And I did my best for being just a man. Oh, I'm not the first, I won't be the last, to make my way and not turn back. On this journey, only few can understand. This long and winding road to who I am. No, I'm not the first, I won't be the last. Make my way and not turn back. On this journey, only few can understand. Down this long and winding road. Down this long and winding road to who I am. To who I am. It's who I am.
This is JD, and that's brand new music. Two brand new CDs. That last one was by Nick Granato called Outside the Lines. The song was called Who I Am. And before that, we heard the title track from Kenny Lockwood's new CD, Strong Love.
And it seems like David Elliott is either delayed or unavailable, so we are going to pick up with another segment from This Way Out. This is Queer Voices.
Yeah. If there were a reward for being queer, would you be able to prove your eligibility? When a young Nicaraguan gay man named Alvaro Orozco applied for asylum in Canada last month, the 21-year-old's request was denied because the immigration judge believed he was lying about his sexual orientation. This Way Out correspondent Heather Kitching spoke to Orozco's attorney, El Farouk Taki, about his client's heartrending story and the renewed efforts to save him from a cruel fate.
Basically, he was thrown out of his home because he was different, because he was gay. And that was sort of picked up in the context of the culture and the society that he wasn't like the other boys. And there was a lot of violence within the home. His father was extremely violent and abusive, particularly towards him. And after a number of incidents and so on, he was basically thrown out of the house. And he made his way out of Nicaragua on foot through Central America, swam across the Rio Bravo, almost drowned and was resuscitated, made his way into the United States, and lived in the U.S. for about 5 years illegally. At one point, he made an asylum application, but he was 14 or 15 years old at that time and didn't disclose his sexual orientation, of course, because he didn't know that he could or that it could be the basis of an asylum application, and was refused. He then continued living in the United States illegally, mostly with the help of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and some of its congregants. And then in 2005, he crossed the border, making a refugee claim at the Canadian border and coming in as a refugee claimant. So that's basically his life story from birth till about age 19. So he's been in Canada now for about 2 years.
Wow. That's astonishing.
It's quite a dramatic and a sad story, you know, like a 12-year-old kid being thrown out of his home because he's queer or perceived as being queer, and then living basically for the next 7 years fending for himself with the charity of others.
So after hearing all of this, why on God's green earth would the Immigration and Refugee Board not let him stay?
A number of things happened. The lawyer who was representing him didn't have experience in dealing with sexual orientation-based claims. And to be honest, he also didn't even address how all the years of violence within the home and then his subsequent situation. Like, he's only got a grade 6 education, right? He stutters when he speaks, when he's nervous, or when he's under stress. So, and of course, the more nervous he is or the more stressed he is, the worse it gets. So the lawyer sort of failed to recognize some of his vulnerabilities and didn't provide the refugee board with a psychological assessment, for example, or any proof of his socialization or his relationships as a gay man. At the hearing, which was done by televideo conference, so the decision maker, the refugee board member who made the decision, is sitting in Calgary while he's sitting in Toronto. And what connects them is basically a TV camera on either side. And based on this TV camera visual, she's also supposed to decide on the credibility of the claimant. Well, he's not a very sophisticated person in terms of this kind of procedure. So the refugee board member, he ended up not believing or saying that she didn't believe that he was gay because he had lived in the U.S. for 5 years and couldn't provide her with evidence of his socialization as a gay man. And he hadn't had any sexual relationships with anyone after the time that he came to Canada. And I find that a little bit problematic, that there's an assumption that queer kids should or must have sex when they're teenagers. And not taking into consideration the fact that he was living amongst members of the Seventh-day Adventist community, which the church doesn't have a particularly sympathetic view of homosexuality or homosexuals. This was a vulnerable individual, that the violence and his experience may have scarred him, may have you know, may pose barriers for him to be able to testify adequately. And the Refugee Board has policies with respect to recognizing proactively vulnerable individuals. She said that she didn't believe that he was gay, that he had made it up to bolster his claim based on the familial violence situation. But because he was 19, she said, well, if he goes back, he doesn't have to go back to his family or live with his parents. He can go to some other part. So really, his fear of his father is not a legitimate fear in and of itself.
Right? So how did you connect with him, and what are you able to do for him at this point?
Well, he was brought to me, to my office, by one of the people, one of the counselors at SOY, Supporting Our Youth, which is a queer support organization here in Toronto. There's a lawyer who was working on part of our strategy. Basically, she was doing the federal court work. So she'd filed an application in the federal court to judicially review the removal order, because he was supposed to be removed on February the 13th. She filed a whole bunch of documents in support of his mental situation and so on and so forth, including a new psych and more in-depth psych report. The Department of Justice that was representing Canadian Border Services conceded to a two-month deferral of his removal. So we now have until April the 9th.
Okay.
In the meantime, what we're planning on doing is filing a humanitarian compassionate grounds application with Canada Immigration and sending a copy of that to the minister, asking her to intervene. We have also filed an application to the Refugee Board to reopen his hearing on the grounds that there was a breach of natural justice at the hearing. So we're hoping that through one of these two processes we're able to get a permanent decision with him, with respect to him being able to stay. I think what's important in this case is the media support that we have received and the public support that seems to be coming in. So it's a little bit of an embarrassment, right? So how they choose to deal with that, whether they choose to bury it or to say, oh, there was a mistake, or we didn't have this in front of us or whatever, we might be successful in reopening it. And if we are, then I think we have a very, very good chance of winning at the Refugee Board.
That was attorney El Farouk Kaki explaining the Canadian asylum case of Nicaraguan refugee Alvaro Orozco to This Way Out correspondent Heather Kitching. You can find more information online about the case and the community support.
This is Queer Voices.
This is J.D., and you're listening to Queer Voices. We've got Joe Watts in the studio. He has a new play, and he's just the person to tell us about it. Joe, what's the name of this one?
Valhalla.
And that sounds familiar. Should I know that name from somewhere?
I don't know. It's been interesting because a lot of people have never heard that name, so they're confused about, well, what in the world is that about? And I think generally, a lot of people think it means heaven, and in a sense it does, but it came from Noric or Nordic, whatever that is, mythology, and it's about where heroes that have been slain go to rest. But I kind of look at it as heaven. And what was interesting about the name of it, when I was in my early 20s and lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I lived in a huge rock house, a gorgeous big rock house, had an enormous basement, circular driveway. There were four of us that lived there. One of them was German, and he christened that our house Valhalla. So I actually lived in Valhalla.
Your only shot at it, huh?
Right.
How did you pick this play?
Easy. Paul Rudnick, who wrote Jeffrey, that was one of the most successful plays ever done at stages, and he wrote I Hate Hamlet. He wrote the screenplays for Adam's Family Values and In and Out with Kevin Kline. He wrote the most fabulous story ever told that I did.
Oh, yes. Wonderful, wonderful play.
I want to say 4 years ago. Was named Best Gay Theme Play that year by the Houston Press, which included productions from stages and the Alley. So I was really proud of that. And it was my most successful production ever. And so when I read about Valhalla and knew that it was written by Paul Rudnick, I was pretty sure I had to go there. And it is funny. It's insane. It's funny as can be.
Tell us about the cast. Did you have trouble putting it together?
You just had to lead me into that, didn't you?
It's a question.
You know, he's just so evil.
Really. It's a question.
No, it's more than a question. It's a conflict. I have come to realize in the last several years that the talent pool in the city for young, good-looking, talented male actors in their 20s is very, very limited. And all of a sudden, every theater in town was looking for young male actors. And on Theaterport, which is a website for auditions that's posted by all the different theaters in town, I mean, it was like, need young actor immediately. Desperately need actor. We'll pay an actor. Well, whatever, to get one. And it's just sort of strange. I could have cast this play a dozen times in Dallas and probably even in Austin. So I've decided to nurture my own talent pool of young, good-looking male actors so they can call me for lessons. But seriously, we had some casting problems because of that. Otherwise, we really didn't. I'm very proud of my cast.
Are these folks you've used before, any of them?
Actually, none. One auditioned for me years ago, and I adored her. And she left and went to New York, didn't have a good time there, went to Chicago, didn't have a good time there, and she came back. And I'm glad she came back because she's really wonderful. If you're listening, Holly, I'm talking about you.
Well, the caption on the card, I get the postcards from Joe's plays. It says, mm-hmm. Mad Queen Ludwig of Bavaria meets James in Danesville, Texas. What's going on there?
Paul Rudnick decided to do a similar thing that he had done with The Most Fabulous Story Ever Told. The Most Fabulous Story Ever Told opens with Adam and Steve in the Garden of Eden, and Jane and Mabel, the lesbian couple, who insist that they were there first. And it takes them through some biblical scenes in the first act, Noah's Ark, etc. But then in Act Two, it takes the same two couples and presents them in modern-day New York. So what he did this time, he took King Ludwig from the 1840s, 50s, and he intertwined a story of a young Texas teenager who also sort of lived in the search for truth and beauty, and probably neither one really totally lived in the real world, because they were always searching for truth and beauty. And it's a strange, sort of unique thing for him to do, but and there's some scenes that both of the Bavarian side and the Texas side, scenes from both are going on at the same time.
Kind of counterpoint.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
So this is a funny play, it's a serious play, a heart, you know, help play?
Well, a local reviewer that was there opening night laughed at everything. And it was like, I was just listening and to see if he'd laugh at this or if he'd laugh at that. And he didn't lose any of them. And yes, it's very, very funny.
Has this been shown around the country, this play, this cast around a lot?
I just know that it was done I think in 2004, off Broadway. And interestingly enough, and I'm sure they may be accusing me of copying them, early last fall, Uptown Players in Dallas did the Normal Heart. And I followed that and did the Normal Heart here in Houston. I really didn't know they were doing it. But, and then I was playing around with the idea of doing Valhalla, because it's complicated in that it has costumes from hell. The Bavarian section, obviously, more so than the Texas. But then I read that Uptown Players in Dallas were doing Valhalla. And it kind of brought to mind the... what's the word? The conflict we have, you know, with Dallas about which is the better city and which is more artsy and all that sort of thing. So I thought that was kind of fun.
So what are they going to show next that you're going to show?
Yeah, well, that's a good one. I'm not sure. I'll have to go into their website and see what's coming up, see if I agree or approve.
Do you have your next show picked out?
Actually, I probably can talk about it. I don't know. It's not certain. And a lot of it is because I don't have my own space anymore. And it's difficult to find alternative spaces. Which brings up another story. The Midtown Arts Center, where I'm doing Valhalla, I did a number of plays there in the 80s. But this space at Holman and La Branch was at one time the first Montrose Activity Center.
Really?
Yes. Yes. And that's where Jack, I can't think of his last name, first did Women Behind Bars, excuse me, with Mary Hooper and a lot of talent around town, but very definitely. It didn't last a long time. Hello. I'm not sure it was there a year, but it was this exact space where I'm doing Valhalla.
So what did you ask me? Is it a good space? is it theater in the round? What is it?
It's kind of like three sides.
Okay.
Seats about 125 people.
Oh, that's a good number.
Yeah.
So what do you want our listeners to know, just in a nutshell, about this play?
I want them to know. I know where I was going with this. My next project. Well, let me talk about that, and then I'll get back to this other one. It's not a gay play, but it sort of kind of has two songs that can lead that way, and it's called, and everybody listening is going to be sure I've totally crossed over. It's called Bark. And it's a musical about dogs. Three men, three women, and they play dogs. But they don't wear like dog suits. It's very sophisticated. It ran for 2 years in Los Angeles, for 8 months, something in Chicago. You first hear it and you want to barf. But the music is extremely sophisticated, beautiful, beautiful music. And it's just charming as it can be. It's just wonderful. And
I guess you're allowed to do a non-gay play after all these years?
Yeah, well, sure. Sure I am. I hope I am. I'm going back the other way. But there's one song that it's two dogs, one, and they're both singing about a partner that they've lost. And the male dog, it's very easy to read into the song that his partner was also a male dog. So, what do I want them to...
Well, you want them to know the name of the play is Valhalla. It's running now.
It's running now.
And it's on, Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday matinees at Midtown.
Not all Sunday matinees.
Okay, just
slow
March 11th and March 25th.
Right.
At 3 p.m.
Yes.
and Midtown Arts Center is kind of where?
It's kind of at HCC Central. And if anyone knows where the Heinen Theater is, that's actually...
Oh, yeah. I was there last week.
Considered... Oh, but, did you see Porcelain?
I saw Ann Reed in concert. Folks,
oh,
singer.
Okay. Enough about our personal lives. It's on the corner of Holman and LaBranche. It's a block from, excuse me, from the Heinen Theater, near, right at Houston Community College Central.
Okay.
And is there parking?
Actually, that's a plus about the space. There's a huge parking lot, catty corner from the theater, that's owned by the college, that's free.
And if someone, a stretch of the imagination, wants reservations, is there a phone number they might call?
I would hope so.
I'm teasing
funny,
Joe. I've known
man.
Joe a long time. I'm teasing him.
No, he's upset with me because I didn't ask him to do the music for this
not
show.
Not at all.
No, he's not upset.
I have plenty to
kidding.
Do on my plate.
No, I told him the reason I didn't ask him to do music is because the tape was put together for the original production, and you can actually rent it because it has all sorts of crazy opera music and stuff on it. But it's not anything that's going to turn anybody off. It's fun. Reservations. So is that okay, JD?
Yeah.
Reservations 713-522-2204. I've had that same number.
I know.
I've had that same number for about 40 years. And yes, I'm old out there, but I'm still going.
I have that number memorized and I never call it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people have that.
The syndrome. Well, we thank Joe for our coming to talk about Valhalla, and you're listening to Queer Voices.
All of me, I wanna take all of me. Can't you see I'm no good without you? Take my lips, I want to lose them. Take my arms, I'll never use them. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. How can I go on without you? You took the part that once was my heart. Why not take all of me? I'm no good without you. Take my lips, I want to lose them. Take my arms, I'll never use them. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. How can I go on without you? You took the part that once was my heart. Why not take all of me? You took the part that once was my heart. So why not take all of me?
Well, that was a gay little song.
That was Pamela Means, and she's usually known for more original acoustic-driven music. This is her first jazz album. It's called Pamela Means Jazz Project, and we're going to go from that to another brand-new CD. I just got it in the mail today by an artist I like quite a bit named Peter Donnelly. His album is called Road With No End, and the song's a Broadway medley.
Say the neon lights are bright on Broadway. They say there's always magic in the air. But when you're walking down the street and you ain't had enough to eat, the glitter rubs right off and you're nowhere on Broadway. Say the boys are something else on Broadway, but looking at them just gives me the blues. But how you gonna make some time when all you got is one thin dime, and one thin dime won't even shine your shoes on Broadway? When you go downtown, 'cause when you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you got worries, all the noise and the hurry seem to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the rhythm of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, and go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure, downtown. You're gonna be alright. There he goes, just walking down the street, singing do a diddy diddy dum diddy do. Snapping his fingers and shuffling his feet, singing do a diddy diddy dum diddy do. He looked good. He looked fine, he looked good, he looked fine, and I think I'm gonna make him mine. Yeah, before I knew it, he was walking next to me, singing do a diddy diddy dum diddy do, holding my hand just as natural as can be, singing do a diddy diddy dum diddy do. I'm his, he's mine, I'm his. Clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Look all around, there's nothing but blue skies, yeah, yeah, yeah. Look straight ahead, there's nothing but blue skies, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is the rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright, bright, sunshiny day, yeah.
gonna be a bright, oh yeah, bright sunshiny day. And you may find someone who's kind to help and understand you. Someone who is just like you, needs a guiding hand to help you along. The nights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. Think of downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure. Downtown. You're gonna be alright now. Say that I won't last too long on Broadway. I'll catch a Greyhound bus for home, they all say. But they're wrong, I know they are. Cause I can play this here guitar, yeah. I won't quit till I'm a star on Broadway. Hey, 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 hey. Say the neon lights are bright. Mm-hmm. Say there's always magic in the air on Broadway when you go downtown. Cause when you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go. There he goes just walking down the street. Do a diddy diddy dum diddy do, yeah.
Singing in the band, and we get
listening to Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, 90.1 FM. And we had time to squeeze in Clark Carlton's Boys on the Sand from his Saltwater album. Next is This Way Out.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
This is Margaret Cho, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio magazine for all our sexually diverse communities.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
2 years ago, Gareth and Carlene of JFLAG, the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays, were sponsored by Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch on a networking and lobbying tour of the U.S. Gareth and Carlene spoke then about the intensely homophobic environment they faced, the brutal murder of JFLAG co-founder Brian Williamson, and their hopes to rally international attention for their cause. This past Valentine's Day, Gareth was one of four gay men forced to barricade themselves inside a St. Andrew's Parish store, threatened by a violent mob of over 200, an incident that has once again focused international attention on the anti-queer crisis in the island nation. In a conversation with This Way Out's Lucia Chappell during their 2005 visit, Gareth and Carlene, who dared not use their last names, discussed a key component of Jamaican culture that continues to fuel violence against lesbians and gay men today, and how international activism has helped in their struggle.
One of the real hot-button issues that has gotten attention to the problem of homophobic violence in Jamaica has been, of course, the dancehall music.
Our dancehall music, which evolves from reggae, has come far away because we're seeing where our dancehall music contains homophobic lyrics, the lyrics that encourage people to go out and kill and beat people who are different, you know, homosexuals. And, you know, it really has not shown any regard for human lives. Since Brian Williamson's death, the organization Outrage in the UK actually took up the campaign with JFLAG's efforts also, because we did provide the interpretation of the lyrics, that they were successfully able to create a forum where there were lots of debate and discussion and people coming to realize that, you know, these lyrics were really inciting violence against the LGBT people. And LGBT people are one of those who really supported the music. But, you know, because of foreigners did not understand the lyrics, you know, they were very well in support. And although in Jamaica, the LGBT community people felt the backlash of, you know, the boycotting of the music, we were still happy that it was happening, because it brought to the forefront that these are the things that are happening. And the music is so very influential on people, both locally and abroad, especially the youngsters, because the youngsters are the ones who really take to music. If you want to pass a message on, just do it through music, and they catch it on quickly. And people were being beaten based on these music, what these music were saying.
I have read some comments that the UK and the European movements shouldn't put so much emphasis on trying to get at the music and the lyrics and work more toward actual, you know, legal reforms in Jamaica. What's your response to that?
Everything counts for us. If you have to deal with it from the music level, deal with it from the music level. You deal with it with reforms, we deal with it from that angle also. Socially, we deal with it. Everything counts.
You had mentioned that there was some backlash based on some of the protests in Europe. What has that been like?
What we find is that there were more gays and lesbians were turned out of their homes, were beaten, hospitalized. There were police who were terrorizing gays and lesbians, and persons who live in inner city communities where these artists are seen as idols. Gays and lesbians within these communities undergo a lot of persecution. One young guy was 15 years old. He was stabbed and hospitalized because why? Gays are bantoning our artists and stopping our progress. And we have parents having their sons being escorted out of their community by gunpoint. And when these matters are reported to the police officers, they say nothing, they do nothing. What we want is we're reclaiming what is rightful to ours, and that is our human rights.
What about then the critique that the European protesters just really did not understand the black culture and of Jamaica?
Saying it was the discrimination because based on race and color, but I just think it was just a cover-up. They just didn't want to face it, and they were trying to, you know, attack it to make it look, you know, trying to take the focus away from, you know, homosexuality, you know, and the homophobia. So that was just a mere cover. I don't, nobody bought, you know, bought into it.
Yeah, and just on, to what Colin just said, we in Jamaica, we speak about on the premise that yes, we are a sovereign nation, and we appreciate the whole thing of freedom of speech. Why do we then allow or want to promote our artists to go to another sovereign nation to incite violence? If the Europeans allow gays and lesbians to live free, Jamaicans should respect that and should not go in their country and want to dictate to them or say to them, gays and lesbians ought to be killed.
And as a matter of fact, they're talking about sovereignty. The sodomy laws that we have on our books, that's not sovereign. That's coming from the
from
the British colonial system, okay? And the British has taken that off their books, and they've done something with it for years now, and we still have that.
And for us at JFLAG, we have made several attempts to have dialogue with our local officials. They pay us no mind. They don't want to hear us. In Jamaica, JFLAG is powerless. And the only time that gays and lesbians will be seen as a force to be reckoned with is when our brothers and sisters internationally intervene on our behalf, which we as gays and lesbians appreciate 100%.
Activists around the world are again heeding the call issued by JFLAG leaders Gareth and Carlene. In the wake of the Valentine's Day incident, supporters are urged to write to Jamaica's Prime Minister, the Most Honorable Portia Simpson Miller, and ask her to speak out publicly against the violence. Her email address is hpm@opm.gov.jm. For more information online, email admin@jflag.org or Rev. Robert Griffin at mccchurch.net. Gareth and Carlene reaffirm their commitment to the cause in the conclusion of this 2005 interview.
America and other European countries, gays and lesbians, many have died, many have been physically abused and that kind of thing. So there's a common pattern. I'm a part of the process and I'm giving my all to it.
Next time on This Way Out. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Charles Hall, Sherry Lunn, Rex Walker with Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, Heather Kitching, and Lucia Chappelle contributed program material. Peter Tosh sang Get Up, Stand Up, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out anytime, exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are underwritten by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from you, our listeners, and we thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air and choose from some very special CD thank you gifts, too. We literally can't go on without you. You can email us at tworadio@aol.com or write to us at Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WUSB, Stony Brook, New York, CJAM, Windsor, Ontario, KAOS, Olympia, Washington, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
This is J.D., and I definitely know that song. It's Something Inside So Strong, and you just heard a version by the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston, and what a coincidence. We have someone speaking for the chorus this evening, Colleen Fisher. Welcome, Colleen.
Good evening, everyone.
And what brings you here this evening?
Just here to promote our concert, which is a week from tomorrow night, March 13th. It's our latest production called House of Hope, and we'll be performing that at 7:30 p.m. at Jones Hall.
I gather the emphasis is on hope and inspiration and empowerment and...
Yeah, pretty much hit the nail on the head. Word on the street has been that this is a religious concert, and while we're certainly going to be talking about the GLBT community and how their faith and spirituality is a huge part of their lives, it's not quite the religious overtone that everyone's been lending it. The concert is about tolerance. It's about justice. It's about equality. It's about finding that place inside yourself that is filled by nothing else but your spirit. And we're hoping we're going to be replenishing some people's empty glasses and finding something in them that they need.
You have a pre-event that perhaps is maybe more tied to religion.
Yes, it is. We definitely wanted to leave the concert as sort of an insular event and let people be filled by the music, but we thought the theme itself was important enough to create a symposium, and we've got several speakers. The moderator of which is Reverend Dr. John Tolley from Meadville Theological Institute in Chicago, and we're just going to be talking about what does it mean to be gay, what does it mean to have a sense of faith and spirituality and be a GLBT person, and just kind of looking at all the different aspects of that.
And when is that event?
That event is Saturday, this coming Saturday, March 10th. It's going to be from 3 to 5 at the Live Oak Friends Meeting House, which a lot of people know as the Quaker Meeting House, up in the Heights on 26th Street.
Any charge for that one?
No, that is free to anyone who'd like to be there.
And what would someone hope to get out of attending that?
I think more than anything, if there are any... if they practice any sort of spirituality in their life, whether that be Buddhist, Hindu, Jewish, Christian, even if you're agnostic or atheist and just believe that there is maybe something out there bigger than yourself, but you don't believe in organized religion, or you maybe have had a falling out from your own personal faith life. It's just going to be kind of an open dialogue, and we've got representatives from both from Christian backgrounds, from Hindu. We're going to have a Buddhist speaker. We're really going to be looking at all aspects of faith life for GLBT people.
So you had this concert planned and you figured out, how can we open some doors and start some people talking kind of before this?
There's been kind of a dialogue for a while, especially surrounding gay marriage and how do we feel about being faith people. And this is just kind of an extension of that. We figured if we open the door and extend kind of an olive branch, but in good faith and in goodwill to this amazing community, what can we do to encourage the dialogue? And this is, we thought, the best way to do that.
Well, what kind of music is going to be at the concert? And just give the people some examples so that they don't have these preconceived notions in their head. Well, we're going to go hear Amazing Grace.
Actually, Amazing Grace is not in the repertoire. The show itself, just to kind of help set the stage, if you will, is going to be opening with a number called Past Life Melodies, and it's an Aboriginal piece. Yes, it's gorgeous the way the guys harmonize together, and they've pulled this piece together. It kind of makes me feel like I'm standing in the middle of some sort of tribal gathering, and I'm, you know, almost like a ceremony for a young man or a young woman who's being initiated into their tribe. I mean, just to hear the sounds that are coming from the guys, it's really kind of, it's otherworldly. It's amazing. So we move from different things like pieces like that.
I see John Lennon's Imagined on here.
Yes.
Imagine.
You know, the utopic anthem of, you know, can we imagine a world where there's, you know, no war? Can we see peace? Can we see a better day when everyone is the same and we all, you know, feel the same?
And I see Circle of Life. That sounds like a nice choice.
Oh, always. And the guys do such a gorgeous job with it. We've done Circle of Life at least one other time before, and the arrangement is fantastic.
Are these all the whole chorus singing everything, or do you have smaller groups do some songs?
We have a few smaller groups that are going to be working on some stuff, like in Circle of Life, all the more African chant, all that kind of stuff. There's going to be some small groups doing that and really pulling the more emotional aspects of the songs out while the the rest of the chorus will do the background vocals and adding support to some gorgeous numbers. There's also some other really interesting pieces that just make you stop and think, like Michael's Letter to Mama, which is from Armistead Moffett's Tales of the City.
I know that one.
And Paul Humphrey, who did that for the chorus several years ago, is going to be coming back to do the solo for that piece.
That is very powerful.
Very powerful. And it just lets you know that sometimes at the end of the day, you know, your parents need to know that you've raised your children right, and that when you release them into the world, that they're doing what they need to do. And it just kind of reminds us all that we're human beings. And then in the second half of the show, we're doing one piece, the Holly Near piece, which is I Ain't Afraid. And so we're talking about I'm not afraid of your churches. I'm not afraid of your Yahweh, and I'm not afraid of your Allah. What I'm afraid of is what you do in the name of your God.
Mm-hmm.
And asking people to really think for themselves.
Yes.
And to not just allow
protecting from your believers.
Exactly. And we're thinking that that's going to be a real anthem in the coming years, and that's that religion can't hold everything over all of us, and that as we think for ourselves, we're not going to be afraid anymore. We need to kind of come together as a people, and it's a real anthem, we think.
Mm-hmm. Holly Near has several songs that you could have picked.
Yes. Many, many songs.
What is that, When We Are a Gentle Loving People?
Mm-hmm. The guys have been real familiar with Holly Near's pieces for a while, and James just felt that this and some other gala choruses around the country, Seattle, mm-hmm. Heartland Men's Chorus, we had the arrangement for this piece, and we felt it was particularly appropriate for Houston.
Okay, so what do people need to know? Where is the concert?
The concert is at Jones Hall, Tuesday, March 13th. It starts at 7:30.
And where would you get reservations, tickets?
Reservations and tickets can be purchased online at www.BayouCityPerformingArts.org, or you can call our...
Say it again. BayouCityPerformingArts.org. And because that's a new name for you all.
Yes, it is, actually. We just changed our name. When we brought in the women's chorus, the Bayou City Women's Chorus, we have since became a producing organization, and so Bayou City Performing Arts produces the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston.
You needed a big umbrella.
We did. We needed to be able to kind of grow, and this gives us a title to add all kinds of mm-hmm. different
other
aspects.
Cities have done this. So Chicago, for example.
Chicago. Seattle is Flying House Productions. Mm-hmm. In New York City, it's Big Apple Productions. So everyone's kind of branching out and moving to a way to grow and expand and still reach all of our communities.
Well, and it gives other smaller groups a chance to get involved and to network and kind of be safe under the sponsorship, or
yes, you know, and sometimes in going out and getting out there in the community, it's safe to go with a name like Bayou City Performing Arts, and then when we come in underneath and let them know who we are and why we exist and just how important it is for the diversity in our communities, you know, and you reach a broader range of people.
Okay, so the pre-event on Saturday is, once again, just...
is the symposium. It's called Reclaiming Faith, a symposium on GLBT spirituality, and it's at the Live Oak Friends Meeting House on 26th Street in the Heights.
And that's 3 to 5 in the afternoon?
Yes.
No charge.
No charge, and you can find more information about that and its location on our website, again, at www.BayouCityPerformingArts.org. And you can also call our office at 713-521-7464 if you have any questions or if you'd like to order tickets as well.
It sounds great. Again, the name of the concert is House of Hope, Reclaiming Faith, by the Bayou City Performing Arts. Colleen Fisher, thanks for being with us, and you're listening to Queer Voices.
Thank you.
Again, that was the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston. That particular track was called Never Ever. You get to hear music that powerful and more at their concert on the 13th. Coming up next, a special song I brought because our next feature is on a softball theme. I brought a softball song.
And I get to see women swing and twist towards me. Bend my way every other day. Hit the ball and see them run and play. Oh, softball. I love softball. It makes me feel so good watching women at play. Really makes my day. Women scream and shout. They love to come out to play.
Braces are
Softball at Belmont Plateau by the group Destiny.
It's Queer Voices, and I'm Glenn Holt. And JD, thank you so much for finding a song about lesbian softball. I mean, if anybody was going to find a song, something like that, JD would be the one to do it. From Assisters, joining me here now is Saul.
Well, hello. Good evening. How are you?
Good. Hey, you know, I picked up a bat again last year for the first time in, I think it was 35 years.
Well, good for you.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really strange because I didn't have any specific conscious memories of playing softball when I was a kid, but obviously I had done so because it all came back to me very naturally, and I know that I had done so because I still had my original mitt.
Is that right? That's amazing.
I had kept my mitt all these years.
What made you decide to pick it up again? What was your motivating force?
Well, I play competitive volleyball, and a lot of the people in volleyball also play softball.
Sure.
And, you know, I holding on to my mitt all those years, I had intended to get back to it at some point. And the opportunity came up last year, and so I did, and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that.
So, now you guys are going to put lesbians and softball together like bread and butter.
That's correct. That's right. Throughout the years and still throughout the years and probably continue until the end of time, I'm sure.
Lesbians and motorcycles and lesbians and softball.
Well, okay. Motorcycles, yeah.
Yeah. And hammers and nails. Okay. No, you're going to do fundraising, though, right?
Yeah. Well, this is actually interesting because we our first annual softball tournament, it really wasn't a fundraiser per se, and not in its definition. It was more of a PR search to reach out to the community and get Assisters out there as far as, hey, you know, we do a lot of things in the community. Yes, our primary concern is our clients, but we also want to reach out to the other aspect of the community and give our volunteers a different aspect of our organization as well with a little bit of fun.
And what is Assisters?
Well, Assisters is a volunteer organization. It was formed in 1996 to provide non-medical in-home support and care to lesbians with illnesses such as cancer, fibromyalgia, HIV, multiple sclerosis, amongst other diseases. Volunteers, we work together to provide transportation and care to help clients remain in their homes. That's our most important driving force here, is that we don't want our clients to be displaced because of their illnesses.
Do you also provide respite care for caregivers, primary caregivers?
Well, we try to support the primary caregivers as well. Yes, that is also what we try to maintain the family together, whether they have partners or brothers and sisters or children that need our support as well.
And you're doing all of this on a volunteer basis?
Absolutely. No one in our organization is paid.
So that means that you also need to do fundraising like any volunteer organization.
Absolutely, absolutely. We do several fundraisers along the year, and actually our tournament last year did promote some funds for us. Unexpectedly, but yes, it did.
Good.
And so we decided, and it was so much fun to put together,
uh-huh,
that we decided, well, let's do it again for another year.
Good, good. I'm involved in the committee that puts together a volleyball tournament every year, and we do that Easter of every year, and this is going to be our 18th year doing it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And yeah, I think that once you get into a sport that you love, you like to just do it, and you do a lot of outreaching with this particular type of sport so that you can get other people involved in it because you love it so much.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I said when ours is. When's yours?
Ours is March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
That's
good.
A big landmark right there.
Yeah.
One of
the big feast days in Lent.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We don't have a set date that we plan on. It just happens when it happens. And we hope to get a good team support.
Now, are you going to have people coming in from all over for this? Or are you just going to sort of like within Houston or what?
No, actually, this year, we decided to extend our invitation out to other teams in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. We do have an Austin team coming, that Austin Mullets, which we are really...
Mullets.
Yes, the Mullets. Yes, we're really excited about having them to come in. And we also have other teams. We have teams from Houston, of course, Bud Light, the Extremes, Hurricanes, and Wave. And, of course, your sisters will be there right now. Yes.
All of one day or all of one weekend?
It's one day. It's a one-day tournament. And we don't know what time it's going to start yet. Our deadline is on the 8th, Thursday the 8th.
So depending on how many teams register.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
And you're going to have, like, food? I mean, you can't have softball without having hot dogs, right?
Oh, hot dogs, hamburgers. We are so fortunate because last year and this year again, the Houston Pride Band, they are going to run the concession stand.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, and they did such a wonderful job last year. They had plenty of food for everyone. They did a great job cooking. They did all the work that a sisters did not have to.
Good. So you were free to play softball just like you wanted to
do. We were free to play. They were free to cook, and everybody had a great time.
Yeah. Sounds like it. And where do you do this?
At Memorial Park. It will be Memorial Park, Fields 4 and 5.
Rain day or anything like that?
We don't. We anticipate to have a great, sunny, beautiful day.
Well, of course we do, yes.
Is there a rain day set? We have not set one. In the event that it does get postponed for rain, then we will get a rain out day for future day. But not right now. We don't have one.
Okay. And you have other folks helping you on this?
I have a wonderful committee.
Yes.
Nancy Wintle, Georgette Monahue, Alicia Rudy. They've been instrumental in getting me started, and I really enjoy working with every single one of them that have helped out. I'd also like to thank our corporate sponsor.
Oh yes, please.
Corporate sponsorship, Gay and Lesbian Yellow Pages, Gay Yellow. They've been wonderful. They have supported us and have helped so much in getting this actual tournament started. Without their sponsorship, I don't know if we would be able to have done it last year. And of course, our underwriters, Chances Bar, Play It Again Sports, 1960 in Willowbrook location, and the Uppercuts Barbershop, which is in Galveston, all have been wonderful underwriters for us again this year, second year in a row.
And a website or for more information?
If you want to register, if someone's out there listening and you have a team that wants to play, you can go online to assisters.org, assisters.org, and you can register online. You have until the 8th of this week to register, and you can also send a check if you'd like via the mail. We do have a P.O. box that you can mail. P.O. Box 541095. Again, that's P.O. Box 541095. Houston, Texas, 77254. And please postmark it before the 8th, and you'll be fine.
Sol from Assisters, thank you for coming out and telling us about that. A springtime morning and afternoon, hopefully, of a weekend in March.
Yes.
With lesbians and softball and food.
Yeah, and well, there should be also a lot of gay boys out there as well. So if you want to come out and look at all the attractive people, please come on out to Memorial Park on the 17th of March.
You're going to have any boys teams entered?
Oh, there's several.
Okay, good.
Yeah, there's several. This is definitely co-ed.
Because I know that... co-ed. Okay, good. Because I know when I got into playing softball with the Montrose Softball League, there were some formidable boys teams there.
Oh, yeah, and they still are. This is where I started my softball, is with the Montrose Softball League.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I'm presently playing with the Houston Women's Softball League as well, and it's a wonderful... Both of these leagues are wonderful. They do the same for the community. They just bring everybody out to the softball field to have a great time.
And how long have you personally been playing softball?
7 years.
And how did you get started?
With the Montrose Softball League.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I mean, do you have friends sort of ushered you into it? Or?
Yes, exactly. Exactly, that's how it was. That's how it started. They said, hey, you know, let's go do this and let's get involved with the community. And I had to jump right in. And I've been in it since.
Good.
Yeah.
I know, especially, you know, as time marches along, it's important to keep physically active because, you know, the old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. It's definitely true. I mean, I really notice it around flu season that when you're in really good shape physically, you can handle that stuff a lot better. And if you're not in good shape physically, man, people get really sick with that stuff. So
that's the wonderful thing about softball here in Houston. You can pretty much play it 9 months out of the 12.
Yeah. You don't have to run around through the snow like I used to have to do up in Canada.
That's right.
No, we didn't play the snow.
It's kind of hard. You lose the ball in the snow.
Yeah, it would be.
Absolutely.
I wanted to tell you a quick story Sort of as a tie-in to the last interview that we had, since they were talking about spiritual stuff, and since your name is Saul, this is a cute little story. A certain man gets to heaven at the end of his life, and he meets St. Peter at the gates, and he says, I tried my best to emulate, the prophets of old. I did something like Samuel, and I did something else, and I emulated these different people, and so God comes along and looks at him and says, "But Saul, Saul, why were you not more like Saul?" Which is a wonderful way of saying that the individuality of each of us is so important.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's a wonderful story.
And
thank you.
Good. You're welcome. And you get to see all of that with softball.
Yes. Yes. I hope everybody comes out March 17th, Memorial Park.
Great. Thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
Here on Queer Voices, Saul, and my name is Glenn Holt.
Just beams the way you sing off key, yeah, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, you can't take that away from me. You can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on this bumpy road to love, but I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way you dance till three, yeah, the way you haunt my life.
closing door. And passion's not enough when a heart needs something more, and a bridge can burn that wasn't there before. When you're perfect strangers, perfect strangers, frightened of a little word that's so easily brushed away.
Latest CD, Peter Donnelly from his latest CD, and we pulled into our little archives there for Steve Snelling doing Perfect Strangers and Ernie LaJoie. We had a request for him. That song by him was called Jack and Jill from his 1999 album, Bliss.
kind of cut you off there at the first. You want to say the first part again?
We had Pamela Means, Peter Donnelly, their new albums. And we had Steve Snelling doing Perfect Strangers and Ernest David LaJoy doing Jack and Jill.
We'd like to thank our guest tonight, Joe Watts, talking about his latest production.
Colleen Fisher talking about the Gay Men's Chorus concert on the 13th.
And Saul talking about his sister's softball tournament coming up soon.
March 18th.
And David in abstinentia.
Yes, there must have been something that came up with David, otherwise he'd be on the show. We hope to see you next week here on Queer Voices.
You have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.